Hey, if you like the music at the beginning and end of each Reasonable Faith podcast, there's a link you can click right there on the page of the podcast download. Lots of you have asked about the music, so definitely click that link if you'd like to download it. Welcome to Reasonable Faith with Dr. William Lane Craig. I'm Kevin Harris, and some of you have asked about my website. It's my blog, and I've come up with, hopefully, a memorable name, a blogogetics. Yeah, obviously, it's a blog talking about apologetics. Ablogogetics.com. Oh, boy. How do you spell that? A-B-L-O-G-O-G-E-T-I-C-S. Ablogogetics.com. Dr. Craig, today we're going behind the scenes of Reasonable Faith so you can tell us about some interesting conferences to which you've been invited, including this private conference where the topic of intelligent design came up. And this was put on by a famous entrepreneur in an interesting place.
In an exotic location, Kevin. It was on the French Riviera. Peter Thiel, who is a kind of iconoclast billionaire, he founded PayPal, as well as several other ventures, sponsored this entire conference near to Nice on the Mediterranean coast of France. And they brought in what I might call contrarian thinkers in different fields like economics, physics, philosophy, politics, because as an iconoclast, Thiel wants to hear the unorthodox views, the non-orthodox opinions. And then the persons at the conference would discuss these among themselves. It was a private conference. It was not open to the public. All the discussions were off the record. And I was invited to talk about singularities in cosmology with respect to the origin of the universe and the implications of this theologically. I also participated in a final session on theology and philosophy and the question of miracles, whether miracles are possible and identifiable. And it was very, very enjoyable interacting with these other scholars in other fields and talking about these issues and being able to stand up for the credibility of a Christian perspective on these issues. The people who came to this were by no means all Christians. And now Steve Meyer was there because he was part of the intelligent design movement, or is rather, mm-hmm. which is of course very contrarian because it goes against neo-Darwinian orthodoxy in biology. And so he and a couple of other fellows presented material pertinent to a defense of intelligent design with respect to biology. And that was very, very provocative and interesting.
Did you have a chance to ask him about the state of the union as far as the intelligent design movement?
Yeah, I actually did, Kevin. I did have a chance to talk with Steve one afternoon privately. And I said to him, I had the impression that a few years ago, the people involved in the intelligent design movement were rather crestfallen and felt that the movement had kind of stalled out and failed to achieve the objectives that, say, a Philip Johnson had envisioned for it. And I asked him what the mood was these days. And he said, following the Dover case with the Supreme Court, which in the intelligent design movement did not support the attempt to teach intelligent design in the schools. They thought that was a maverick move that was unwise and imprudent. They didn't support it, but nevertheless, they suffered the consequences of that negative Supreme Court verdict that intelligent design constituted religion and so couldn't be taught in American public schools. He said they really did take the wind out of their sails for a time. But he says since then, they have really regrouped. There have been a number of new people who have been involved in the movement, some very sharp young biologists. And he said everywhere they go, he says they find among the younger faculty tremendous interest in intelligent design and skepticism about Darwinian orthodoxy and chemical origin of life theories and things of this sort, so that he seemed to say that the movement is going ahead again at full steam.
Dr. Craig, you've been involved in a couple of conferences. One had to do with your work on abstract objects, which I encourage everyone to listen to podcast on and read your material on, because it is so fascinating. Let's talk about those two, beginning with your interaction at Southern Evangelical Seminary with Peter von Inwagen.
Yes, and also J.T. Bridges was part of it. It was a three-way dialogue. Southern Evangelical Seminary put on this event, which was a dialogue on God and abstract objects. And I think it's rather remarkable that an evangelical seminary would want to put on an event of this sort. This is a rather abstract topic, isn't it? And yet, it was well attended and really interesting. Van Inwagen, who is now professor emeritus of philosophy at the University of Notre Dame, and I, and then J.T. Bridges, who is a Thomist philosopher at SES, participated in this dialogue. We exchanged our papers in
advance.
Tell
us what a Thomist philosopher is.
A follower of the philosophy of Thomas Aquinas, Thomist. In short.
Thomism.
Yes, Thomism from Thomas, okay. Thomas Aquinas. So Bridges is a follower of Aquinas' philosophy, and so approached the topic from that angle. I took the anti-realist perspective on abstract objects, that there really are no such things. And then Van Inwagen is a strong Platonist. He believes that there are abstract objects. And he gave a very interesting paper on shapes, where he argues that there are five Platonic solids, or convex Platonic solids. And this was discovered by Euclid, that you could have just five of these convex objects that would have equal sides to them, like a cube or an icosahedron, which has 20 sides, or a pyramid. So he was arguing these shapes actually exist, not just the physical objects, but these abstract shapes exist. That was his paper.
And if one was in the road, you'd have to hit the brakes.
Well, no, because they have no causal effect on anything.
Ah, okay.
Shapes don't have any causal relations. So we had an exchange of papers in advance, and then each could comment on the other's papers and ask any questions we wanted to. And it was a very engaging and interesting exchange. It was videotaped and should be put up on YouTube fairly soon. I think the editing process is going through, but folks will be able to watch it then.
Now, to those who say, oh, come on, I'm not even listening to y'all's podcast on abstract objects, why should those interested in Christian apologetics and philosophy understand abstract and concrete objects?
Well, I think it's theologically very important, because if I'm right, Platonism fatally compromises Christian theology, because it means that there exist things, beings, real entities that God did not create, things that are just as uncreated and self-existent as God is, so that God is not the sole ultimate reality, the source of everything else other than himself. He's just one among many, indeed an infinitesimal part of self-existent, uncreated reality. And in fact, on Platonism, God depends upon these objects for his existence, in the sense that what makes him God is that he exemplifies certain of these abstract properties, such that his being God really depends upon his standing in this certain relationship to these properties. So I think this completely undoes an Orthodox Judeo-Christian conception of God. And in that sense, theologically, it's very, very important. I'm not suggesting that this is going to be an issue that the day-to-day apologist is going to run into. But for Christian theologians and philosophers, I think it's absolutely central to theism.
J.T. Bridges, his view.
Yes, this was, I think, the most interesting part of the conference for me. I was well acquainted with Van Inwagen's work and had interacted with it, but Bridges I didn't know well. And what I was surprised to learn as a result of reading not only him, but especially a couple of articles by Armand Maurer and Jeffrey Brouwer that he shared with me, is that although Bridges calls his Thomist view moderate realism, it's not realism at all. Thomas is a nominalist about abstract objects. Thomas is on my side. He's an anti-realist. He does not believe that universals or other abstract objects exist. He thinks they're just in the mind and don't have any sort of real existence at all. And this is very different than the traditional Aristotelian view that Thomas normally would adopt, because Aquinas was very dependent upon Aristotle's philosophy. Most interpreters think that Aristotle believed that universals are real and that they exist in things, so that in a horse there is the essence of being a horse, for example. But Aquinas doesn't take that view. Aquinas is an anti-realist about these things. And I said to Bridges, you are really, really misleading your readers by calling your view moderate realism, because that was a view which was defended by certain medieval persons who held to this more Aristotelian view that there are immanent abstract objects in things. They're not in a transcendent Platonic realm off in some fairyland. They are in the world. But Aquinas does not believe that. He is an anti-realist about abstract objects. So, as you can imagine, I was very encouraged by this and very glad to find that informed Thomists are actually on the side of the angels about this.
The other get-together you had was in St. Thomas.
No, it was not in St. Thomas, at least if by that you mean the Virgin Islands. Okay. It was St. Thomas University, which is in St. Paul, Minnesota. So a much
less exotic. I thought you were on the beach.
No, was a much less exotic venue. It was in St. Paul. But nevertheless, it was a great experience, I have to say. This was a summer seminar organized by Dean Zimmerman, a very prominent Christian philosopher at Rutgers University, and Michael Rota, who is a professor at St. Thomas University in St. Paul, and sponsored by the John Templeton Foundation. And so the Templeton Foundation paid for students, graduate students in philosophy and junior faculty who already have their doctorates, to come and take this summer seminar at St. Thomas University, and then they brought in some faculty to teach it. So I was merely one of about four professors that was teaching the seminar on the subject, the fine-tuning argument for God's existence, the fine-tuning of the universe. Joining me in teaching this were Luke Barnes, who is a professor of astronomy at the University of Sydney in Australia. We had met Barnes when we were on our Australian speaking tour 2 years ago. He had introduced himself to me when I was at Sydney University and shared with me one of his papers on fine-tuning, and I actually quote him in the debate with Sean Carroll on the fine-tuning issue. So it was great to see Luke again and have his positive scientific input. Then with me was the philosopher Neil Manson, who is more skeptical of the argument from fine-tuning, and then David Manley, who is a prominent metaphysician, who also shared some reservations about the argument. So there were people on opposite sides of this issue, and so we had a very good exchange. And I've got to tell you, Kevin, these students were absolutely top drawer. These were graduate students in philosophy from all around the country. Three of them, at least, I had already met in February when I spoke at Rutgers University in Dean Zimmerman's metaphysics seminar, and these students were really brilliant. There was another graduate student at the University of Notre Dame who had studied under Timothy McGrew at Western Michigan University, and this fella could write out probability calculus calculations as quickly as, say, I could write the alphabet on a piece of paper. It was unbelievable, his facility with probability theory and probability calculus.
It makes you feel good about some of our future theological leaders.
Exactly, Kevin. It was at the same time humbling as I compared the brilliance of these students with myself, but then also tremendously encouraging, because I thought, wow, is this the future of Christian philosophy in this country? And it made me think, Kevin, of just how utterly uninformed and ignorant these infidel atheists are on the internet who mock Christians and deride them as unintelligent imbeciles and so forth. I mean, if they could see these graduate students and the kind of firepower they bring to these issues, I think they would have a very different view of Christians.
The intellectual muscle is definitely on this side these days.
Oh, man, that really is really, really true. Yeah.
Bill, as we wrap up today, anything this fall that you can tell us about, anything you have coming up?
Well, the biggest thing that I've got on the docket is the speaking tour of Germany and Austria, which requires me to give a number of talks as well as a debate auf Deutsch. I'll be doing it in German. I have a debate with a philosopher called Ansgar Beckermann at the University of Munich, from which I graduated, on the existence of God. And I've been practicing my German, practicing my speeches, and trying to get the mouth working again in pronouncing German and formulating sentences and so forth. And it's been really fun. I have really enjoyed doing this, and I'm looking forward to that event in October, those events rather in October.
So how would you say Big Bang in German?
Urknall.
Gesundheit.
Yeah, der Urknall.
I didn't sneeze.
Well, thanks for being here. Stay close. We've got some amazing podcasts coming up from Reasonable Faith, including one on an interview between Sam Harris and Peter Coyne. Both, as many of you know, are outspoken atheists, and believe me, you don't want to miss Dr. Craig's interaction with this interview. So that's coming up. As always, you can partner with us financially by clicking the donate link at reasonablefaith.org. We really appreciate your support so much. We'll see you next time on Reasonable Faith with Dr. William Lane Craig.